Dory?
Dory!
Dory!
I remembered something. That's not possible. Is it?
Okay. Finding it like Dory, starring the voice of Ellen DeGeneres, took in a record $136 million over the weekend. It was the most successful launch for an animated film in U.S. box office history. Finding Dory, of course, is also a sequel to the 2003 film Finding Nemo. And you might have noticed it's one of many sequels this year. As Derek Thompson writes in The Atlantic, all this could have some repercussions for the film industry in the long run. Derek joins us from New York. Derek, it's good to have you back.
Good to be here.
Okay, it kind of feels like we're at peak sequel right now. What's going on?
Well, this story really starts in the 1950s. Movies used to be the third biggest retail category in the U.S. People were buying 35 movie tickets a year as late as the 40s or 50s. And then comes along this new technology called the television. And after the television, people stopped going to the movies so much. Tickets bought per American per year fell from about 35 to about 4 in the early 1970s. And so since then, movie studios have been cycling through all of these strategies trying to figure out how do we mitigate the risk of creating this enormous, expensive product and try to get people to buy tickets to it. And the most recent strategy that at least seems to be working, seems to have been working, is this sequel strategy. You roll out iteration after iteration of the same handful of franchises in the hopes that people will want to see the sort of new chapter of their favorite story.
Well, you write that 20 years ago, that none of the top 10 films were sequels or superhero films. Instead, people were watching things like this.
A historic and unprecedented event is occurring. The question of whether or not we are alone in the universe has been answered.
Okay, that was Independence Day. Will Smith, of course, I'm having a flashback to high school here about an alien attack on Earth. Now, there is an Independence Day sequel coming out this week. You know, do people like these? Do they work?
Yes, they do work. There has been a lot of ink spilled on this concept that sequels have stopped working because a handful of sequels have failed so far this year. But let's be clear. To the extent that Hollywood knows what it's doing, sequels are the only thing that are working. In 2015, 6 out of the top 10 and 11 out of the top 20 films were sequels. This year, it's the exact same story. 6 out of the top 10, 11 out of the top 20 films are sequels. And that was a stat that I pulled out before Finding Dory became the biggest opening in Pixar history. So it is very difficult to make a product that people want in the level of millions. And it does still seem that to the extent that Hollywood knows what people want, that thing is sequels.
A sequel or superhero movies. You've got Batman versus Superman, Dawn of Justice, which is out now.
I'm getting slow in my old age, Alfred.
Even you got too old to die young.
Not for lack of trying.
Okay, so if you're a superhero fan, this movie might work for you. But do you think there is a problem in the long run? If you're leaning too much to these sequels or to the superhero themes, does that hurt the movie industry?
Yes, it absolutely does hurt the movie industry, but the way that it hurts the movie industry, I think, is a little bit complicated. I think what's happened is that a lot of studios have overlearned the lesson that sequels work, and as a result, they're trying to sequelize essentially every moderately successful movie. You have sequels for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Zoolander and a Snow White sequel without Snow White and a follow-up to the Seth Rogen comedy Neighbors. You have all of these movies that 20 years ago, studios would have just let them be sort of successful single children, and now they're trying to pump out a bunch of siblings that simply shouldn't be there.
Right. You might ask, like, what's the reason to have a Zoolander follow-up, right?
And there is no reason other than the fact that these studios don't know what else is going to be successful. Huh. You have all of these auteurs of original stories that have moved to the vast expanse of television, leaving the sort of list of movie titles essentially it's laden with sequels, reboots, and adaptations.
Well, that's got to be tough if I'm a filmmaker and I don't want to be making a sequel or a movie about superheroes. Or, you know, it's got to be tough for people going to the movies who don't want to watch that.
And what you're seeing right here, and this is what I wrote for The Atlantic last week, is that Hollywood now has this huge millennial problem. The people most likely to buy tickets at in the U.S. today are those between about 18 and 39. That is the key demographic. And it turns out that this key, most important demographic is also abandoning movies faster than any other group. So it's interesting. They're going to all of these other various size screens. They're staying home with their enormous LCD, or they're happy looking at Snapchat and YouTube on their little mobile device. They're doing anything except going to the movies at the same rate that they used to. And as a result, I think Hollywood worries that it's in trouble and is spending even more money on these sequels, which holds them up to essentially even larger potentials for failure. The flops are getting bigger, just as the hits are getting bigger as well.
Even talk of trying to let millennials or people text on their cell phones during a movie. Derek Thompson is senior editor at The Atlantic. Thanks very much for speaking with
us. Thank you.